The following is a bonus episode from Season 3 of Podcasters Assemble, where we covered all the Bond movies and decided to revisit the 1997 classic Nintendo 64 video game GoldenEye 007, which we'll probably be doing a deeper dive into at some point on this podcast. But if you're looking for more great content like this in the meantime, check out the rest of the James Bond episodes on Podcasters Assemble, as well as the latest episode of the Great Pop Culture Debate, where I helped rank the best of the Bond movies.
Podcasters, assemble!
Eric Slater here from Epic Fails of History and Too Young for This Trek.
This is Troidal Power from the Power Playthroughs podcast.
My name is Bill. I'm from Bill's JRPG Adventures and Other Trappings podcast.
Hey, this is Chris from the Comic Zombie podcast.
This is Beej from the Geek to Geek podcast and Dragon Quest FM.
Hi, this is Justin Aki, graphic designer and one half of Significant Other Co.
This is Megan Aki and the other half of Significant Other Co.
Hello, my name is Ben Thompson. I'm from badassoftheweek.com, and we're talking about
one of the greatest Nintendo 64 games ever made,
GoldenEye 64 for the Nintendo 64.
And this is
007 GoldenEye
64.
Today, we're reviewing the multiplayer version of GoldenEye N64.
Because, yeah.
Oh, man. I absolutely grew up on GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64.
I tell you what, this game is a nostalgia bomb.
GoldenEye is like a very personal thing for me. Like, I know a lot of people are going to have great GoldenEye stories.
In fact, I'm pretty sure we had GoldenEye for the Nintendo 64 before I ever saw the movie GoldenEye. So I learned the plot of the movie through the game.
Excited to see Pierce Brosnan's face.
Although this wasn't technically my first exposure to Bond, I think this is where my fandom really began.
My friends and I played this all the time back when I was in high school.
Now, I don't have much love or nostalgia for this game.
GoldenEye, lace of leather.
Ouch.
I didn't own an N64 when I was growing up. I had this this really cool thing called a PlayStation 1, which had loads of really good games on it, as opposed to six good games.
Wow.
Occasionally you'd go around to your friend's house, and they would be sitting there, and we'd all be sitting around talking about these really cool PS1 games that we'd all been playing. And he'd be like, oh, come on, guys, let's play the N64. I begged my mum for this. I just assumed we'd all be into Mario, you know? I know we're teenagers now. I didn't realise there was something else out there in the world. And you'd be like, all right, it's fine. Just pick a game and we'll play it for a bit.
We were insane about playing this. It was either GoldenEye or we would play Mario Kart 64.
And sometimes, you know, generally it was Mario Kart because that was actually a really good game. And occasionally we'd play this terrible, terrible shooter called GoldenEye. And I get that it was kind of fun when it comes to the multiplayer.
So GoldenEye is pretty sweet as far as like a first-person shooter goes. Obviously the graphics are super dated now, but if you were like me and you grew up with this as one of the systems you played, I was probably a little bit older than some of the other folks on here. I was probably in like 7th or 8th grade when the N64 came out, and my friends and I spent probably 2 or 3 summers straight playing nothing but freaking GoldenEye.
But for me, it was my freshman year of college. We're in 1998, and I had just gotten to college, and one of my only friend at college, the only person I knew when I got there, he had an N64 in his dorm room. His roommate had it. And that's basically how I made all of my friends throughout my entire college career, was basically like it was all the guys that would just come into that room to play GoldenEye multiplayer on that N64.
Justin, tell me about your memories of GoldenEye.
I didn't really play GoldenEye until after college.
Wow.
Yeah, so I didn't have a Nintendo 64. None of my friends had a Nintendo 64. I grew up with Sega Genesis systems. Mm-hmm. Never had any Nintendo systems until my parents' Wii.
Wii!
and then my sister's Wii. So I was never able to play GoldenEye until way down the line when everyone was like, oh yeah, do you guys remember Odd Job? It was terrible. Never played it.
Oh, Odd Job's in this?
Yes.
Yeah, basically the two things I remember about this game is hating either when people had the golden gun or when people were playing as Odd Job. I can't remember why. I just remember being very, very angry. You know, probably didn't help that I was a testosterone-fueled teenager at the time. But yeah, it used to make me extremely cross.
I mean, sure, it doesn't hold up super well.
I thought it was like cutting-edge graphics when
it was at the time.
Especially compared to a lot of modern first-person shooters.
But for 1996?
Yeah, 5 or 6.
Ish. It's probably groundbreaking.
But it's still fun.
Okay. So I come from a different perspective. I had two brothers. I have no clue what systems we had, but I definitely remember playing GoldenEye like nonstop because all they played is sports games, GoldenEye, and Duke Nukem. Those are the only games I can remember.
The funny thing is, I actually do remember, so I was a PC player for a long, long, long time. Duke Nukem was very neutered on any console systems. You didn't see blood.
I don't remember. I just remember I got to kill people.
There you go.
But one of the things that I learned about GoldenEye was that I'm not a first-person shooter kind of player. Like, that's not the kind of games that I've traditionally enjoyed. So, for me, having, like, GoldenEye be one of the primary games that I played, especially with my friends, was actually saying quite a lot because I didn't go through a lot of those games.
It wasn't the first first-person shooter that came out, but it was the first one, and it wasn't even the first multiplayer one. It was the first one that was like readily accessible to multiple people, right?
But I really liked GoldenEye because it was two players, and I was really bad at it, but I'm a button masher, is that what they call it?
Yes, we just press things until it kills somebody.
And I would actually beat my brothers sometimes, so I have fond memories. I don't remember much, but...
Did you only play multiplayer, or did you actually watch the storyline? Because the storyline, as far as I remember, follows the movie to a point, but it does diverge to add more.
Because I'm a button masher, I know that I played single player sometimes on my own, but I was never good enough to get past, like, the level first obstacle. Yeah. So it's always more fun in, like, a contained environment, like the two-player version.
Back in the 90s, we had Doom, Duke Nukem 3D, and GoldenEye 64.
Like, you could play Doom online, but you had to have, like, you know, a good dial-up connection, which was kind of wonky, and you had to know people who had the game, and just getting any kind of online stuff to work was really difficult in the mid to late 90s. GoldenEye kind of fixed that by allowing you to hook everything up to, like, one machine, and everybody could just play together and scream and yell at each other, and you'd complain because, like, your friends would look at where you were at on your screen and then, like, go to right where you were and kill you. Like, I had a friend that was awesome with the grenade launcher, and he could just, like, bounce grenades to wherever you would spawn by looking at your screen. He knew where you were, so he would just, like, bounce grenades at you. It was super annoying. We used to yell at each other all the time, but it's fun.
I mean, sure, the characters are super blocky, and the wooden chairs always blow up, but this game was cutting edge. At the time, 3D games were still kind of new, and this was one of the few that was actually aiming for realism. The game was designed by Rareware back in 1997.
Rareware, oh my god, didn't they do all the Donkey Kongs?
This was the studio that actually made Donkey Kong Country, another one of my favorite games. And as good as the game was for the time, I think that a lot of the Bond games that followed made the mistake of leaning too much into the FPS aspects of it.
So, Pierce Brosnan is my James Bond. I never watched any of the other ones until recently. So seeing his face is like, okay, now I'm watching James Bond. Do you agree?
No.
Who's your James Bond?
It's always been Sean Connery is my James Bond because I recognized that he was always James Bond when I was growing up. Because I watched all the Roger Moores first, but I was like, this doesn't feel like James Bond. But
which one was Roger Moore? That was the one before the last guy we watched.
Yes.
Okay.
He was very old.
One of the things I absolutely love about the campaign mode is they included objectives. There was more to the game than just shooting everyone you can. That said, whenever I played the stealth missions, I always ended up shooting my way out. I also love this game's user interface with the dossier design, and when you pause the game, it's Bond looking at a readout on his laser watch.
I know a lot of people are going to talk about the multiplayer aspects of it, and I played a lot of multiplayer. We played a lot of proximity mines only. We played a lot of remote mines only. We played a lot of slappers only, the golden gun mode.
So most of my friends played quad screen. We'd had four controllers on the N64.
Well, see, I had two brothers, so there's three. So we'd have to have like one of my brother's friends over to be quad. So most of the time it was just two player.
Okay. Because you could play in three players.
I always liked playing as the helicopter pilot. Of course, playing as Oddjob was cheating. Sometimes I'd play as Jaws just to show how ballsy I was.
Some people play games for fun. Some people play games with the intent, you know, that pure intent of completing it. And other people play games to beat them as fast as they possibly can. These people are known as speedrunners. Speedrunning is actually quite a complicated beast when you get into it. There are loads of different types of speedruns that you can partake for individual games, and a lot of individual games have their own communities who sort of build the rule sets around what constitutes a speedrun. And one of the more interesting speedruns that I like seeing are ones where they don't just time themselves playing the game, but they use the inbuilt game timers. So one of the famous ones is Mike Tyson's Punch-Out. You know, at the end of each level, GoldenEye, you've got a little timer saying how long it took you to beat that level. And so a lot of these things come down to just being perfect at completing those levels. GoldenEye had a lot of speedrunners who had beaten and set records back in 2002, 2003, 2004. And these records had stood for like best part of 15 years with no one being able to beat them.
The solo campaign is actually really solid, and it sort of follows the storyline of the movie, except where Bond is in every scene, shooting and blowing up everyone and everything in sight.
But I really want to talk about the single player experience.
Like, the single player campaign's not great.
Because I think this is a great single player video game.
And really, I didn't play a lot of the single player. Like, I remember the single player game.
You know, it's just a lot of like running down gray corridors, shooting at like very blocky Russian guys. You machine gun a lot of Russian dudes.
It's basically a Bond movie starring John Wick.
Right at the start, you have the mission on the dam where Bond has to like sneak through this dam. I believe you disable some alarm systems as you go. Depending on what difficulty you play on in this, you have different objectives to complete, which is super rad.
And I'm going to tell you the story of the very first level, the dam, on Agent difficulty, which had a world record of 53 seconds, first set by Brian Bosshart back in September 27th, 2002. So this record stood for 15 years. It was 53 seconds. 127 people were tied with the 53-second Bosshart record. That is ridiculous. 127 people. But there was a guy, his name was Carl Jobst. He'd been running the game for a long time. He'd already equaled the 53 second thing, and he'd had many, many attempts at trying to beat this game, and he'd sort of tried, failed, equaled the record, tried, failed. And I'm talking about hundreds upon thousands. If you include those 127 people who have also been trying for this record, like just to get the 53 seconds, that is almost like a million attempts. Like, I'm not even joking. It is like, if you try and work out math on, it's just ridiculous.
And it's just great. And then you watch the movie and the dam scene is literally like 4 seconds of a stunt actor running across a dam. And that's it.
So this, to beat it, would be a one in a million run. It looks impossible. It is impossible. But we can do it. We're speedrunners.
Right after the dam, the mission where you're actually sneaking inside the base is like shot for shot recreated from the movie, with the whole bathroom scene and the guard in the bathroom that you take out. Then there's that you know, that staircase right outside the bathroom. We all know that staircase right outside the bathroom. It's in the movie exactly. The only thing that's different is Alec Trevelyan? 006, whatever his name is. He's not in it until the very end of the level, but it's just, it feels exactly like the movie, which meant that having played this game first, when I watched the movie, it felt exactly like the game. And that's the case throughout this movie. It just, over and over again, feels like they really did a great job of encapsulating the movie and expanding on it a little bit.
Do you have opinions about pop culture? Are you looking for the best in movies, music, and TV? Then you should be listening to the Great Pop Culture Debate Podcast. Each episode tackles an entertainment topic like Best 90s Soundtrack, Best TV Mom, Best Movie Musical, and so much more. Our smart, funny panelists share compelling arguments while you play along at home via listener brackets. It's interactive, educational, and hilarious. Listen now to dozens of topics and subscribe today so you don't miss what's next. And remember, everyone is entitled to their wrong opinion.
The word bad means not good, and the word ass means in contexts where it's not referring to a literal donkey, well, you know. And yet, when we put these two words together, synergy happens, we reverse the polarity, and bam, badass.
And that's where our new iHeartRadio podcast, Badass of the Week, comes in. I'm Ben Thompson.
And I'm Dr. Pat Larish. And every week, we're telling stories of the most badass figures in history, mythology, and even fiction.
These are tales of ninjas, pirates, Vikings, scientists, and explorers full of guts, glory, and everything in between. And even the occasional badass dog.
You mean like Goofy?
No, I'm not talking about Goofy. I'm talking about Sergeant Stubby. I'm talking about war hero dogs. I'm talking about a bear named Wojtek that carried artillery shells for the Polish artillery during World War II. Nazi fighting walking bears. This is the show.
Listen to Badass of the Week on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
4 years, the best podcasters from around the world have gathered to review, reminisce, and riff on popular franchises. They've assembled the Earth's mightiest superheroes, traveled to a galaxy far, far away, drank many martinis, shaken, not stirred. Witnessed the battle of the Alpha Titan. Defended Earthrealm from Outworld.
Get over here!
Busted their fair share of ghosts. Unplugged from the Matrix.
I know Kung Fu.
Kept a watchful eye on Gotham City. Discovered the secrets of Jurassic Park and other audio adventures. But there were some movies that didn't make the cut. From the creators of Podcasters Assemble comes a movie hype series hosted by a motley crew of talent. Podcasters Disassemble. Podcasters Assemble is a production of the We Can Make This Work, probably, podcast network.
The solo mission's fine. It's actually a lot of fun, I should say. It's not fine. It's pretty cool.
Ugh, that last level on 00 agent mode was so freaking hard.
But it's great. It was awesome, and I feel like I still could do facility and train from memory.
My favorite campaign level, it's got to be a toss-up between silo and facility.
But it has maybe the most obnoxious escort mission I can remember in any first-person shooter game, where you're in this, I think it's like a missile silo base or something like that, and you have to escort this chick into this room, which is full of bad guys that shoot at you the second you walk in, and her dumbass just like, oh, not to worry, James, I'll just stroll through this hail of gunfire. No problems.
I remember there being a couple of levels where you had to escort someone.
And she'll die or you'll die trying to chase her down. Now, the only really way that I found to do it is just run like a psychopath through the stage. Leave her way behind. Kill everything you can until she gets to that room. Then you only have a couple guys to deal with.
The escort missions, you know, this is where I learned what an escort mission was. I didn't know what the concept of an escort mission was before I played GoldenEye.
And I absolutely hated it. Like, I wasn't good at first-person shooters then, and I'm not good at first-person shooters now. And so the escort missions were really a pain.
And yeah, they're terrible. They're the worst part of the game.
And Natalia consistently, like, jumps in front of your guns so that she dies and you fail the mission.
Still a good game. But those parts are bad. Especially because then when you do see the movie, Bond never even went to the initial GoldenEye control center, which is where the escort missions happen. So it's like not only did they put in an escort mission, but it's like they invented a whole scene in order for the escort mission to happen. It's kind of a bummer.
You also gotta love all the Bond movie Easter eggs throughout.
I think another of my favorite location recreations in the video game is the library in Russia, where it's the scene where Bond and Natalia escape from the Tiger helicopter that was gonna blow up by its own missiles, and then get arrested by the Russians, and then have to escape, and she ends up getting recaptured. Bond gets in a tank, right? The room that they're in, this weird, like, stoic, depressing library. I love libraries. That library is depressing as hell. It's perfectly recreated in the game. You are just in the movie at that point, in terrible N64 blocky graphics, but you're in the movie.
And yet, Carl had decided that for the entire month of December in 2017, he would play Damn Agent live on Twitch, day in, day out, until he beat the record. And it only took 2 days. Typical speedrunning. He probably spent 3 years trying to beat this record in total. And then, yeah, he decides he would spend a whole month trying. And on day two, and on his very, very last attempt of the day, he ran a 52-second run.
And one of my other favorite moments, there's one more I got to call out here. And it's the jungle where Bond has his last encounter with Xenia Onatopp. And you have a boss fight against her, and that's good. But what's great about that level is it's where you get the best gun in the game. I don't remember what it's called, but we called it the typewriter when I was a kid, because it spat out bullets like somebody clacking away at a typewriter.
I gotta say though, they did a good job with the satellite design in Cradle.
Now, one of the things I find funny about speedrunners is watching their reactions when they actually beat a record. And Carl Jobs is great. There's a guy called the Mexican Runner, and he's pretty good. He just launches into like a sea of profanity whenever he beats a record. His Contra ones are hilarious. But a lot of people just sort of like almost just like silently look at the screen and go, yeah, that was good. Like, they just have the most boring reactions. But Carl Jobs is great, and I'm just going to play this for you now. So he's currently running along the dam. There's a few things he does here as well. Like he's having his camera looking at certain angles into the floor and into the sky, and that actually increases the rendering rate, making it move faster.
I'd be happy knowing that I clutched that.
So yeah, he's finished the level now. He's pretty pleased with himself.
What a run!
What a run! So we're just waiting for. There's like a little scene of Bond jumping off the dam.
Tonight after that.
And we're just waiting to hear and see. It's,
I don't know. Oh my god! Oh my god!
I just love it. It's so good. He's like got his head in his hands. He's turned away from the camera. He's now turned back to the camera. He's like almost praying to his N64. It's just brilliant. Like, what a pointless thing to do with your life. But for that one moment of glory, it's just so worth it. Yeah. That was Carl Jobs finishing Damn Agent. And it's kind of funny, like, it's only a 52-second run.
Oh my god.
You see, he's still going for it. I'm just going to leave that running in the background while I talk. I'm just going to turn it down a tad. This is great. So, yeah, for a 52-second run, there's a few things to know. So, when you get shot by a bullet in GoldenEye, it actually gives you a slight speed boost. And there are 3 possible boost points in the game, where you can get hit and sort of get that extra little bit of boost. And this is one of those ones where it's a perfect run. He got all 3 boosts. And he got a perfect angle of going across this little edge of the bridge as well, as well as having to shoot off the lock on the gate at a frame perfect moment. It's just incredible.
Oh, this was insane.
It's just great.
I think it goes without saying that the multiplayer was groundbreaking. I mean, this paved the way for Halo.
Okay, so we're going to play Complex. Players 2, 10 minutes. Weapons: lasers, rockets, golden gun, automatics, power weapons, sniper rifles, grenades, remote mines, grenade launchers, time mines, rockets.
Favorite weapon: Moonraker laser.
To this day, I still think that every time I see an FNP90 gun, I always call it the RCP90. I will never not be the RCP90 to me.
Let's see, what else do I have from this? Oh, the Claw. Everyone remembers the Claw, right? None of the guns in this had real names. I feel like the AK-47 maybe had a real name, but I think all the other guns had made-up names. So the gun that's like an Uzi knockoff is called a Claw. I'm pretty sure that's not a real gun.
Do you think these games were sponsored by the NRA?
Yeah. Some of these guns are not real guns.
A golden gun is real.
Unfortunately, it was.
As a person who's not a big fan of guns, I'm not a big fan of shooting guns. I think next time we should just do slaps only.
Anywho, It's pretty sweet as a single player game. As a multiplayer game, though, is where it is super fun.
How do I make my weapon work?
Lady, I'm working on it too.
Okay, there we go. Figured it out.
I got chopsticks.
I'm so bad at this. Oh, no. Wait, no. I want to go back.
Got some body armor. There we go.
Getting all fancy. Oh, we're near each other. Is that what that means? So you have the golden gun?
I have the golden gun.
How do I switch between...
I have no clue.
Okay,
I haven't
got
played
it.
This game in forever.
Figured it out.
How do you figure it out?
It's none of your business.
I got a sniper rifle.
I am a button masher. I am an expert button masher. I don't care what you're...
Oh, I got you!
Really?
Press start.
Which one's start? Okay.
That one is there.
That was the karate chop. Next time, can we do karate chop only? That would have been so epic. We'll just play it once. Bull honky boo. Are you trying to shoot at me?
Yes.
Rude.
Oh!
This is not fair.
Oh, because I found the golden gun. That's why. I'm switching to the AK-47.
At this current point, I have no weapons. Not that I should tell my husband that, because he'd be like, let me murder her.
I'm going to try to murder you.
Oh.
My favorite playable character has to be Boris.
I also always played Boris.
Yes, I am invincible.
Who's that?
The nerd guy.
Boris was a bright orange character from GoldenEye the movie, and it is just crazy how I never chose anybody else, how I always wanted to play Boris, and when I did, I was always one of the first to die because he was a giant orange dude running around through the levels. And it was so fun doing that because I would always scream in these horrible Russian accents about them killing me when they did. And we all just had such a wonderful time with it.
Favorite mode's kind of tough. It's got to be either You Only Live Twice or Man with the Golden Gun.
We always play custom games. It was always a one-hit kill game. We took all the health away where no matter what you were hit with, you got killed with one hit. So whether or not it was somebody coming up and karate chopping you in the back, whether or not somebody was just spraying bullets with a Kalashnikov, whatever it was, we always had it as being one hit kills, and that let us keep cycling through things way more quickly. It let us have a lot of fun games that way, and it's honestly one of the reasons I don't like as many online games today when I'm playing death matches, is because I want that one hit kill to where you can get back into the action and really use a lot more of the strategy around the levels and what I got used to with playing with my friends like that.
I have two different guns. Oh, I'm near you, aren't I? Come out, wherever you are.
I see, I know where you are.
Do you?
I'm trying to snipe you. Don't look at my screen, lady.
That's always fun, too.
Megan is screen stealing. Where are you shooting at, lady? Boom!
No fair! I don't like him as much as I did when I was, 13. James Bond versus James Bond this time.
I'm traveling. Okay.
Oh.
You be James Bond.
I am. Again, very bad graphics.
Also, the controls aren't the best.
In case you guys were wondering, Justin's a cheater.
I'm not a cheater. You died.
Totally a cheater. I didn't die. You died.
You should have died.
My favorite cheat code? Gotta give it to paintball mode.
One of the other fun things that this game did was there was a cheat to enable, instead of having it be blood, that you actually had blood in GoldenEye where it would show up as red spots all over you that didn't go away after you respawned in a multiplayer match. So if you killed a bunch of people or you were killed over and over again, you always had the bloodstains on you. And so we would sometimes set it as paintball. So we would just be these polka-dotted James Bond characters running around trying to slap each other. Thinking about that now is one of the reasons that GoldenEye is absolutely one of my all-time favorite games.
So I would say this game is more forgiving to button mashers, because I've played a lot of first-person shooter multiplayer games. I've been on a Team Fortress 2 guild for about 12 years now, and I'm used to very exacting standards for first-person shooters, and this one does not. You're able to crawl through tunnels without having to hold control on a keyboard or hold a button on a mouse. Like, you really can just do, like, you run around, collect weapons, shoot each other. The first two rounds we played each other, like, were very straightforward, and...
like, if you aim towards the person, you don't have to aim at the person.
We also had auto-aim turned on.
Oh, great.
But that is a generic option that's available for the game.
What is that, the game a lot of people play, like...
Fortnite?
No, not Fortnite. The other one, the warfare game, no, the,
PUBG?
No, it's like a first-person shooter.
Call of Duty?
Call of Duty. I think if you asked a Call of Duty player to play GoldenEye, they would just think it was silly.
It's the precursor to Call of Duty in a lot of ways. Now, it's not the first first-person shooter you can play multiplayer with your friends, but it is super fun. It's got great maps.
Because I didn't really understand the maps very well. I hadn't learned some because I didn't have the game. I just always remember running into a toilet and then getting killed immediately. You know, what's up with that? Why is it... why? Who wants to kill people in toilets? Like, what is this? Max Payne? No. This is GoldenEye, man. This is Bond. Bond doesn't kill people in toilets. Rappers do.
Really inventive stuff for the time.
My favorite multiplayer map was the bunker. Although, I feel like they could have added a lot more to that level. It would have been cool if they added, like the outside snow landscape as part of the map.
The characters are very blocky, but you can kind of recognize their faces and stuff.
I will say it's a lot more blocky than I remember. Is that a weird word to use?
No, and also I do remember these games being like the end, like the start of regular like first-person shooters, and this game is terrible.
I mean, like, it's the ergonomics really horrible. Is terrible. It's like they used the Photoshop filter for, like, something horrible. Like, you know how you can use the bubble filter in Photoshop?
Again, I didn't play till college, so I didn't really play this game until it was like a... I've already played other first-person shooters, and that's why I know, like...
Can we use college in air quotes?
Yeah, college, quote-unquote. I was a stoner that played with friends.
Weapons are super cool. You can play different modes, like golden gun, where one shot kills everybody. All your guns are golden guns. One shot, one kill, stuff like that.
And we also had a house rule with GoldenEye that no one got to pick Odd Job. Odd Job was absolutely an off-limits character because he was half the size of everybody else. And so he, in the game, gave a real unfair advantage because we played one-hit kills. Because he was so much smaller and harder to hit than everybody else, it really was where people, like, we just made sure that it was nobody played Odd Job. And basically, I remember one time that my friend picked Odd Job right as we were about to go and swapped characters, and I just punched him in the kidney. Like, that was all I did. Like, I was so mad. Like this is like 16, 17 year old me sitting in my friend's house. One of my buddies pick Odd Job as we go through, and he's like, "Ha ha, Odd Job," and I'm like, "Kidney punch." It was great.
If you pick Odd Job, I'm gonna stab you in the face.
Like, it was one of those memories that I will never forget. And the same thing goes for the term slappers only. Like, that was what it was called if you did it with no weapons and only had melee attacks for people, because you had, it was just an open palm. It was an open palm slap, basically. You were karate chopping, technically, but it looked like you were just slapping people. So we would have these slappers only matches in GoldenEye where we were just running around trying to beat each other to death. And it was just great.
What we would always do, and I imagine a lot of other people would do, was no Odd Jobs allowed and slappers only, bitch.
No, slaps only.
No, I'm not playing slaps only.
Yes, slaps only.
First to 5 points. Okay, fine, I'm going to beat you then.
A true gentleman's fight. Oh, this is so much fun. What I'm learning is I'm really bad at playing video games.
Yeah, pretty much.
Regardless of whom I'm playing with. I mean, this might be a good way to, if we ever have a fight, we can just play like this game. Because then I could be like, I like got my aggression out. If this was true Bond fashion, we would talk it out. I think you're gonna win in this slap a hook competition. Wait, am I top or bottom?
You're bottom.
If I don't get body armor, what's the point? Where are you? Let me slap you.
Guy did it in 52 seconds. It's amazing. And I think that record will stand for a long time. That was, at the time, the longest standing GoldenEye individual level record was Damn Agent. So I think it's probably fallen down to another another level now, but that's beating Damn Agent in 52 seconds. Well done, Carl. You're an absolute legend.
Yeah, GoldenEye N64 was like one of the great like formative video games in my like video game career. I love it. I think it's probably the greatest game that came out for the Nintendo 64.
But yeah, I think this is one of those games that definitely deserves a graphics update. It definitely deserves like a true remake.
I've played, I don't know, hundreds of hours at it easily, and I love it.
A few years ago, they came out with a game from a different studio called GoldenEye Reloaded, and it was kind of a remake of this game, except a little bit modernized, and they had Daniel Craig instead of Pierce Bronson. And that game was good, but the problem is it was a different studio, so they couldn't do an exact recreation of this game.
It's great.
I would give it 2 golden guns out of 5. I think it holds up just enough to play, but not enough to actually be a fun game.
Or, like, spark the nostalgia.
Yeah.
You're kind of like, I wish I would never played it, so I would keep that nostalgia at high levels.
Yeah.
It's got plenty of problems. The faces look weird. Oddjob is, like, impossible to defeat in multiplayer.
But it will always be one of my favorite games of all time because my friends and I would get together and really slap each other and basically become polka-dotted 00 agents.
Would you play this again if you didn't have to play it for the podcast?
Hell no.
I concur.
I'd only play Team Fortress 2 for the podcast.
I would like to keep my memories and not have this like really bad Photoshop texture ingrained in my brain.
Yeah.
But it's fun and I have so many great memories of it. It just is this awesome piece of nostalgia for me. And even just in researching this piece that we're doing today, looking at old, looking at YouTube videos of people playing this game, it brings back so many like warm and fuzzy memories of like just machine gunning Russians to death with an AK-47. Good times.
It was absolutely great.
I actually I went ahead and downloaded this game on my laptop, so there goes all my free time.
I'm playing Duke Nukem now?
No.
Why not?
Podcasters Assemble Season 003 is a production of the We Can Make This Work Probably Podcast Network. Find more of our shows at probablywork.com and learn how to contribute to future episodes of Podcasters Assemble by looking us up on Twitter at Casters Assemble or joining our Discord server, link in the show notes. Submissions are always open. Thank you to everyone who was able to contribute to this episode. Be sure to check the show notes for links where you can find them all online. Thank you.
This has been a presentation of the We Can Make This Work
Probably Network.
Follow us on Twitter
at Probably Work for more of our questionable content.
Also, we have a website called probablywork.com.
The game was designed by Rareware.
I think that's it. That's all I got. Except to say that Temples is the best multiplayer level by far.
Echo! Hey.
And our cat has jumped on the keyboard because she thinks she's involved.
Machine gun fire. Anyway.
The game was designed by Rareware.
The temple. That's the best one. I'll fight you.
I'm coming for you, Nintendo. Yeah? You want to remake Link's Awakening? Yeah? I'm coming for you. You're mine.
Xena on the top.
Haven't we met Xena on the top already?
No, we've not. Not to GoldenEye, which is in 1 week.